Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings, people, and events. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about gossip. Oh, yeah, we got to have a little gossip. Well, more about like how to be part of the good side of gossip. Intrigued? I hope you are, because our guest today, Karen Hunt, is impressive when it comes to figuring out how to be the thing that people are talking about in the most positive way possible. But before I bring her on, let me bring on Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Keith. Hello.
So, everybody. Yeah, like, you know, this is my thing. I'm like,
this gossip. Is totally your thing.
Yes. I'm like, all right, let's talk about some gossip.
But you know, we always like good gossip, don't we?
I mean, come on. It's like our guilty little pleasure. We all like exactly. A little bit of gossip. I mean, that's why we watch, you know, reality TV shows and, you know, papers like The Enquirer, Big. You know, a little gossip goes a long way. But sometimes, depends on the gossip. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Right. You want to be definitely on the good side, as we said.
Right? And then wouldn't it be amazing if you were going to be able to harness that kind of energy to promote yourself?
Exactly. I mean, you know, this is the this is truly the best kind of PR there is.
Right? All right. Well, let's talk about, you know, the person that we've been talking about secretly behind her back. Karen Hunt. Hello, Karen. Welcome
by. Hi, Karen.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, are you guys gossiping about me?
Yes. Right?
Always in the best way.
Yeah, only in the best way. But yes. So, Karen, welcome to the show. And, you know, we know you because CEO of Celebration Pros. But, you know, for people that are just tuning in, haven't heard about you before, can you just give us a little background about you and like what you do?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, Keith and Marcy, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, we love having
you. I've already had so much fun with you. For those listening in, we do a little behind the scenes beforehand, and we just had a blast. So as far as my company, I mean, I'm going to just take it back a minute because,
yes,
Keith, you were on my podcast.
I was.
You had
it was so much fun.
Oh, look at that. Look, my stuff is right there. That's
yeah,
cool.
Right there.
So you had mentioned that your story started back when you were like, what?
6 years old.
Or six. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and we had talked about this. I'm like, oh my gosh, here comes the parallels. Cause that's just what happens when us wedding pros get together. So when I was 7 years old, my mom was in graphic design school and she had this, she bought me this program cause she saw that I was excited about graphic design and wanted me to be a part of her world. And so she bought me this, it was software that you put a CD into your gateway computer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dial up and all the things. And your computer was like massive, right? They were like those huge back monitors.
Right.
So I put it in, I install it to the computer and it was like Canva 0.000001. Like it had like 500 stock images and you're like, this is amazing.
Right.
And what I did as a 7 year old is, you know, I had done the lemonade stand before, right?
Yeah.
So I got a little taste of entrepreneurship and I said, oh, this is really, I could sell this stuff. So right? I started making Christmas cards and birthday cards and you could print out on cardstock and actually like origami little like present boxes and stuff. So I set up, I named it the Stop Shop. It was a stop sign that I put on the side of the road to get people to stop.
Cute.
And I was selling people like whatever the holiday was that was going on. So that was my,
did it actually first work?
Yeah. I sold stuff. I mean, I was seven.
Well,
so I know.
I'm like, now, of course, my brain is going, okay, did the creepy
Keith wants my P&L sheet.
Like,
I don't know.
I'm like, ooh, creepy. I'd be like, if I was your mom, I'd be looking out the window, watching you the entire time. Be like, okay, she's out the road with a stop sign. What am I doing? Yeah, but no.
Oh,
but,
yeah, I mean, and I lived in Miami, too. So,
Scary.
But, you know, that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And ever since then, I really hadn't, like, fit in anywhere until I found the wedding world. And then once I found this space, it was like arms wide open. Everyone was so excited to share ideas and help me get on my feet. And I know not everybody feels that way, but I got in through Rosen College of Hospitality Management. So I started with education, which of course the people there are going to be so supportive to help you get where you want to go, right? There's internships and all these things.
Right.
So a little bit different than some people jump in. And With my internships, I had started in boutique luxury. I started out in Colorado at Lodge and Spot Cordillera, which was a four diamond resort. So just like throw me to the wolves right away. And then and then leaving college, I started at Hilton in North Orlando.
Wow.
Up in South Florida and the Keys. So I came down to the Keys and told the Hilton here, like, hey, I'd love to work for you.
Right.
And they came out and said, we opened up a position today. Send us your resume. A month later, I moved back home.
Wow. So
very serendipitous the way it all seemed to work out. But this goes to show that if you don't, when it comes to gossip, you have to tell people what it is. Like, what are your goals? What are the things you're doing? Because if you don't tell people, nobody can support you to get you to where you want to be.
100%.
I got to the lay of the land because I was in high school down here. It's totally different as a business owner, right? So I got lay of the land again. I got to know. I know. But I got to know all the vendors in the area. And I was like, okay, now I feel comfortable. I started my wedding planning business, still alive today, although I am no longer owner. But from there, I really realized that my love was, I love my couples, absolutely loved them. But I loved the vendors.
Yeah.
Like, if they needed help,
well,
I was like, if they needed support or someone had an idea or whatever it was, I was like, okay, how do we make that happen?
Right.
And so everybody was coming to us because we were like, let's run. You want to run? Let's run. And so everybody started coming to us. What we had found is a lot of people were, they were gossiping, but not in the right way, right?
Oh, they were talking behind
people's backs.
Right. Can you believe so-and-so screwed that up? And, oh, you know, yeah. Or totally get it. Yeah.
Maybe even worse, referring people that they didn't know their work because they never met. So like an officiant doesn't meet the rental company. They just refer them because that's who works in the area, which can be very dangerous.
That's so dangerous. Because your name is associated with whoever you recommend. But yeah, okay, right. Got it.
So we started as the wedding planning company started doing networking events and bringing people together. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we move in the conversation. Right. But I really just fell in love with the vendors. And then I had a baby and then COVID. And I said, you know what? I'm ready to jump. And so I went back to luxury corporate and built Celebration Pros on the side. And now I do this full time. So it's like an umbrella of one-on-one strategizing. I do a little VA work on the side. Don't bombard me because that's like here and there I help people. But the thing I love right now is we're about to relaunch the Success Seller membership, which is just, I, if you think of it, it's the university. I bring in the experts to teach you what you need to know. So nice. That's where we're at right now.
So much fun. Help vendors become better vendors at business.
Yes.
Right.
We build businesses worth celebrating. That's what we do.
So this is the gist of the whole thing. It's like, okay, if you're a vendor and you are trying to figure out how to get more business, how to become more efficient, all of those good things, they come to you and they go, okay, I hand you over my baby, which is the business, and I entrust you to help me figure out what to feed it so it grows.
Yes. Oh, that's fun.
That, right?
That's a great way of, yes.
Is that
lots of wedding cake and champagne.
Right? Lots of wedding cake and champagne. But I mean, that's hard. I mean, that's a really scary place to be because, you know, because it is our baby. I mean, I know when I first started out, first of all, I was an idiot when I first got into business. I mean, nobody jumps into this fully aware of everything that is happening or what's going to take because there's an intensity about being an entrepreneur that most people don't understand. And then this, you know, the second thing is that I didn't know what I didn't know. Like the stuff that you learn over the first couple of years is just so crazy tremendous. The learning curve is so like uphill that all of a sudden you're like, man, if I had known any of this when I first started out, I'd be so much further.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying? Like you help them figure that out?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, I've had Celebration Pros for just a couple of years now. So as far as the education business, I mean, I've been helping people forever with their businesses, but it like legit, right? Legally, it's been a couple of years. So I'm having to relearn how to do finances and how to do all these things. So that's okay. Why I say I'm the university, because I, you know what, I, and I'll tell everybody, I'm 101 at everything. Right. I'm like, I'm much more than that when it comes to, you know, the word of mouth marketing space and networking and all of that. But if you ask me about SEO, I can give you what you need to get started, but I'm probably going to bring somebody in like Sarah Dunn to deep dive with us. So that's where, for me, when I started the business, getting the connections first so that I could then help others gain access to the right people to move their business forward. So that's really like, I'm the university and I bring in your professors as you need them.
So my question is, so now let's get into the, like, the gossip part of this, because obviously that is a very titillating subject. It's like gossip, because we all do it, you know, whether we say so or not, because I will tell you, there's a person that Marcy and I know that she says, well, I'm not a gossip, flip the hair, but I'm like, that you're literally the gossip. That's exactly what you're doing right now. Okay. So, but it's usually not great. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, I think my question is, to start it off, what do you mean by gossip? Is there such a thing as good gossip, bad gossip when it comes to being a vendor? And how do we control that? Where do we start?
Well, you know, I think the true definition of gossip is almost, talking maybe not negatively, but untruthfully about somebody else in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's
those that have to be untrue? Dictionary. I mean, you know, I mean, we talked about the Kardashians and a lot of that was true.
For the sake of today, the gossip is what people are talking about you.
Right.
And it's just plain and simple. So if somebody is out and about, you're not there. Somebody's out and about and they're talking to somebody else about your business or about you.
Right.
That's the gossip. It's the conversation that's happening outside of your world. And so it's so important to do what you can to control what they're saying, because if they don't understand your business or if they don't, or if they've never met you, or if there's something maybe that's negative out there about you, maybe you have a bad Google review, We want to make sure that we are controlling as much as we can of that, so that those people are actually trained to talk about you the way you want them to.
Got you. And that's a tricky subject. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And this, I mean, there's also that, you know, the element of like telephone, where they think that they know you because they heard about you from somebody else.
Yep.
But they really don't know you. They don't know your work. And you want to be able to have that control. I mean, like, you know, you want to make sure that they're putting out the word of who you are and what you are
in reality.
In reality.
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
that's what was happening.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Because we talked about this, is that there's good gossip and bad gossip, and we want the wow factor. We want the, like, oh my God, can you believe they did this? It was incredible.
You want to be the person that everybody wants to work with.
Yes.
For whatever that reason is, whatever. And it's typically your differentiator, right? And we were just talking about like Party Slate. You go to one of their events and it's like a blowout. It's like everybody showed up 210%, and you're going to see something at that event that you haven't seen before, right? And their differentiator is like this huge big bang thing. And that doesn't have to be that for you.
Right.
But what is it that people remember you for? It could be certain copy. I have an amazing brand values exercise that I always do so that people understand how to start getting the conversation going in their favor.
Right.
It could be a signature, something that you do. Like maybe there's something special. At one of our venues, we used to put out these carts for the vendors that had like vitamin waters and infused water and cookies and granola bars and all these things, because the vendors work so hard. And I was at a luxury venue. I'm like, we need to take care of our vendors. And because we did that, we got so many referrals from the vendors.
Ooh,
because
so good.
It was like, oh, they actually care about us and they're doing this extra thing. And so what is it that you as all, you know, listening in have that you can really highlight about your business?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be as simple as maybe you send like a care package when your client books and there's just something special in that care package. It could be that your clients don't know this, but you set up a specific table to bring, I don't know. There's so many different things that you can do. I mean,
I get this. I totally get this.
Once you find that thing, whether it's, and it, a lot of times it has to do with all your branding. Your brand is really what's going to speak for you, and anything that you do is going to be on brand. And that's why I always start with brand message,
right?
Where everybody knows me. If you say the word celebrate and you know my business, you think of Celebration Pros. If you think of champagne, you think of Celebration Pros. Everyone who talks to me is like, oh, we're going to be celebrating today. Karen's going to have something that we're going to celebrate. And it could be big, it could be small, but it's a thing that differentiates me. And I want people talking about how I celebrate. That is a positive thing.
Well, what I did is I created toolboxes because every planner should have a toolbox with like different things, double stick tape and lighters and what have you. And so what I would do is that every time I would do a wedding at a hotel, I would come the following week and give the director of catering their own personal toolbox, an actual toolbox filled with all sorts of little things like that. You know, it was like $30, $40 or $50 per toolbox. But oh my God, people started talking about the thing. And of course, I'd always put their name on it. Like it was a thing. And I actually got that from somebody else, another planner, that when I was a director of catering, brought me a toolbox. And I went, and I remember her, and I will remember her forever because it set a message. It was like, whoa, what? Mm-hmm. You brought me a toolbox with my name? Oh my God. And so I started doing it when I became a planner. She was in Miami. I was Fort Lauderdale, so I didn't feel like it was a thing. And I actually called her and I got her approval. She said, oh, I no longer do those toolboxes. I'm doing something else now. So I was like, okay, good.
Yeah.
But it created a buzz because all the directors of catering talked to each other and they were like, they'd go to a networking event and like, oh my God, have you worked with Keith yet? No. Oh, you need to work with him because look, I mean, he got me the coolest toolbox. It's a metal toolbox. Like we're not talking about something splashy. It was like I literally went on Amazon, ordered black metal toolboxes and all the little supplies and kept a stock room just full of it. And every time I do a wedding at a new hotel, I'd bring them a toolbox. The buzz. Right.
And then what happens? They have a couple needing a planner. Who are they going to think of first? They're going to think of Keith.
Bing. Yep. Yep. But the problem is, I'll get a little personal here. The opposite side of that is also possible, the negative side, right? So, you know, I no longer drink, but when I was, I got really known for my tequila. People were like, oh, you know.
Keith.
Yeah, he loves his tequila. But that can have a negative connotation as well, right? And so it takes time to, even if it's done in jest, that's still like people are like, oh, you know, girl likes her tequila. and you have to be careful about that. You know, even if you're out there as a human being going out to a networking event, you still have to control how people see you because that reflects your business. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I have to be careful of that with the champagne brand.
True.
Our lovely Megan Ealy.
Yes.
She was looking at a presentation of mine for me. For those of you who don't know Megan, she's with OFD Consulting. She is
we talk about her all the time.
Just go check her out. So
we love her.
She goes through a presentation and she's like, you might want to do a few less photos of champagne. She's like, you don't have to, but I'm like, no, it's good for me to know because you know it's all about perspective. And that's something too. You know what? If you have somebody that you can confide in and you're not sure if your next move is going to cause positive or negative gossip, talk to somebody and say, how does this rub you? Does this excite you? Or does this like throw up question marks? I have a client right now who she's very edgy. She uses cuss words in her branding and she didn't know how to convey that in her brand without turning people so far off.
I was about to say, I'm like, F you on this C word. I mean, like what?
Yeah. No. So you have to be, you do have to be mindful, but we walked through it and we're like, okay, how would this make a mother of the bride feel? How would this make a couple feel on the initial phone call? Like, we have to ease them in, but we also don't want to, when we are stirring up gossip and we're creating buzz about our businesses, we don't want to show up one way.
Yeah.
And say, oh, it's so great to work with Marcy. She has, you know, all these different things going on. And then the client comes and you're like a completely different person.
Right.
And
right.
And yeah. So this is, you really need to be true to your brand and do a little like focus group with your closest confident people and see how it rubs them. And sometimes, a lot of times it's going to be, well, that's, it's not punchy enough is what I usually see.
Well, my thing is that I love the fact that you just said you got to have your trusted group of advisors, because mm-hmm. I don't think we do enough of that third person. It's like, kind of like when you hear yourself for the first time on a recording and people are like, is that what I sound like? And I'm like,
yes.
Do I sound like that big old queen I just listened to? Yes, that's exactly what I sound like. But you know, it's that. Wow, whoa, is this what I sound like from a third person point of view? And it's very uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable for us to do that. And I mean, and that's one of the things that I talk to new people about. It's like you have to suck it up and get a third person point of view about your business. Somebody that'll tell you the truth and doesn't sugarcoat it, because you need to know, and you can't just talk to one person. You have to talk to multiples.
Yes.
Just to make sure that there's a similar vibe across multiple mm-hmm. people. Am I correct in all that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
I also think that is true, like especially like what we're talking about here, where it's actually your business, not the fact that you're working for your clients. And like, you know, like let's say you design, if I design something for a client,
right?
I know what I'm designing for my client. I know the client's going to love it based on what we're talking about and so forth. But when you're designing for yourself, that's a totally different ball game than yeah. when you're designing for others. And I think that, you know, it's hard to take yourself out of the equation and look at it from like, how is this perceived? And yes. So that's why it's good to get that other, you know, set of eyes, so to speak, on the whole, you know, the whole vision.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this is like create a splash, come up with a signature I think is where we're going with this, a signature yeah. item that people know you for. And that is a positive message across the board.
Yes.
Right. Is that where we're going? Is that how
it is? It is. Because you don't want people, and again, this is what was happening with the networking events before the networking events is in town.
Yeah.
We would have somebody say, can you believe that they served cod instead of mahi and like threw it out there as mahi, but nobody actually knew. It was straight gossip. And then there was, oh, did you know that this photographer, she has a drinking habit. And oh, did you know? And it was like, wow. It was cutthroat wow. for a little while. And I was like, you know what? The problem is we are not in the same room, or we only see each other at events.
Right.
And so when we started doing the networking events, now all of a sudden everybody is face to face having conversations, and the conversations are productive and they're collaborative and yeah. they're not tearing people down. It's, oh, you need a venue for your couple? Oh, come here, Joe, come over here. I think your venue would be perfect for her couple. And that, you know, and it was just like all of a sudden the entire industry in the Upper Keys shifted.
Yeah.
And
oh, interesting.
Lucky for us, we were hosting it. And because it was positive, everyone was talking really good about us. So wow. it worked out for us really well.
Well, but that is a difficult scenario for especially people that are new to the industry. So, you know, I mean, everybody had to start out somewhere. They moved here from somewhere else. We were just talking before we went that I was at the penthouse at Riverside Wharf for a planner's luncheon and was sitting next to a really beautiful, lovely girl that is coming in from Nashville. Very successful in Nashville, is now moving south and wanting to break into the environment down here. And so that was like her first foray, and how she was dressed and what she looked at and how she sounded was going to go a long way to how people thought of her. That first impression is everything. It really is everything.
Absolutely.
So how do you prep your clients for that. They come over, they say, okay, I'm just starting. This is my baby. I'm going to be the best DJ in South Florida. Boom. Right. Mic drop. And you're like, okay, hold on that mic drop. Right.
So you clearly haven't been to South Florida.
And I'm like, yeah, the 1990s called and they want that mic drop back. Right. And you're like, okay. So, I mean, what do you do? What do you say? What is the first step to figuring out what that should be for somebody? Because obviously I'm assuming that you want to figure out what makes them tick. So is there like a questionnaire? Is there like some type of ramp on kind of thing, you know?
I have two main questions that I ask everybody who, it doesn't even matter where you're at in business, but it's definitely, it should be asked often. So the first question is why would or should someone hire you? Mm. And typically the answer is, oh, I'm organized. I'm responsive. I have X amount of experience or credibility, da, 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 right? And then the next question I say is, well, why wouldn't someone hire you? And typically the answer is price. And then I say, well, why shouldn't they hire you? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, what is it in your business that's broken and they shouldn't hire you? And usually the answer is organization, responsiveness. And it's the same. And they're like, oh, so maybe.
Really?
And yeah.
People actually are truthful about that. I'm really shocked that people are like, oh, there's nothing. Oh, there's no reason people should hire me.
Because they want me to help them get to where they're going. So if I ask, I had a planner who said my age, she didn't think people were going to hire her because she was older. And oh, so
once we
get to the root of why they shouldn't hire you, okay, well, let's fix that. We're going to then make it a strength. And then we can, you want to get rid of as many of those negatives as possible so that nobody has anything negative to say. Cause there's just,
but there's always going to be some negativity.
There's always something. But we want to try and reduce it and control it as much as possible. So I start with those two questions. And then of course, after that, it's, How are you planning on connecting with people? And it's different for, different niches in our industry, right? If you're a planner, you're probably going to be working closer with venues and photographers. Like that's what you need, you know, who are your bucket list people? And what I find is that if the people who are starting out, they dream too big and they're like, I want to work at Vizcaya. Like,
why?
Since we're in South Florida, right?
Whoops. I know. And let me not put that out there. Whoops.
Beautiful weddings.
There's beautiful weddings. Right? Yeah. Beautiful weddings. Yeah.
I actually just saw one that was stunning. And then there's the people who are actually 5 to 10 years in business, if you ask them, they play it safe. And they are like, oh, well, I want to talk to, you know, these 5 venues. And I'm like, but they're already at your level. I thought you wanted to level up. You're the ones who need to be talking to Vizcaya and of that caliber to level up. And so I think everyone needs to come down to earth and say, what are my goals? And this is a big networking tip here. And we're talking about being the gossip, and the networking tip is have a goal that you need to, that you speak out loud. And I started with this at the beginning. If you don't tell people what you do or where you're trying to go, nobody can help you get there. You're not going to do it on your own. Nobody famous in the world, Oprah, whoever, they didn't get there on their own. They had people support them to get there. So if you don't tell people what you do, they can't help you, and they can't have those conversations outside of the room from you to say, I was just actually, I have this thing on my heart to open up a co-working business. And I was talking to somebody else and they're like, oh, I think I know somebody who has a space and they don't know what to do with it. And so she's going to get me in connection. He wasn't in the room, but because I said what I needed and he told her what he needed.
Right.
Now we're going to come together. Maybe something happens. Maybe it doesn't. But having these open conversations about where we're trying to go and not being such gatekeepers about our goals and our vision and what we want to do, it's going to help you move forward.
So what do you do when you've been in the industry for a bit? And, you know, so, you know, again, I'll go personal because I don't want to talk about anybody else that's not here, because that lends to the gossip a little bit. But You know, I'm very well known for somebody that gets along with everybody. I get along with everybody. I'm very easy to work with on the day of the event. I never lose my temper. Like, I'm just that person. The problem now is that because I'm always so nice, everybody assumes that I like everybody and I don't. You know, I mean, I like people. They're nice people, but they don't always do an amazing job. They don't always do the job that I want them to do. I mean, they do adequate, and then I come behind and correct it to make sure that it is the expectation that the client is looking for. But there have been several times that I've worked with a florist, and, you know, and this has been years and years and years. I mean, we're talking, you know, 20 years that you can pull from. So nobody take this personally if you're listening to this. I promise I am not talking about you.
We're all coming for you, Keith.
Right, exactly. Unless you really think it is, and then it is. But no, I'm kidding. No, but seriously, like, but so I then get email follow-ups immediately after the wedding. Like, it was amazing to work with you, and I'm so glad you love what we did, even though I never said I love what you did. But now they want to be on my vendor list. Immediately on my vendor list. And so and it goes, so then go it goes against my whole thought of, you know, being that nice guy. I don't want to respond and say, well, you know, you did all right. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. And of course, how do I then balance the two sides? You know, do I become more of an a-hole on the job and you know, because I don't feel like that does anybody any good, or, you know, or say, you know, oh, my vendor list is full, you know, pretty full at the moment, but if a spot opens up, you know what I'm saying? There's two personas that we're always trying to, like, control that. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's really, really hard to do.
I was really lucky in my business because I was good cop and my business partner was bad cop.
See,
they always say
so good.
If she listens to, she'll laugh because she's known for saying F you with a smile on her face.
Yes.
Getting away with it.
Yeah.
It's like the her thing. But I will say it comes down to just having honest conversations. So remember, we were talking about having that outside perspective on your work.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes to you and says, so much, like, had a great wedding with you, I'm so excited that you liked my work, can I be on your vendor list?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't recommend having a vendor list. It drives me nuts. Have, like, a selection of people that align with your brand that you say, this is a sampling of the vendors I work with, but I will, you know, we will be very intentional with the way we select your vendors, right? Like, yep. You have to have verbiage around that.
Good way to put that. All right. Note to self, done.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, and my old business, we have a vendor list and it is long and I'm just like, this is crazy, but we have one to each their own. The point of this is that if somebody calls and says that to you, what I would do is I would say, I want to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of things that I actually am glad you called because there were a couple of things I wanted to go over with you that I think that you could do a little bit better on. And these are the things, and I would just say, please don't take this personally. It's just something that I've witnessed, right? And they will, and it's fine.
I mean, every and time somebody says that, they take it personally.
I had a planner at a venue who, the whole thing was just crazy. The whole wedding was just crazy. Timeline was completely off, all of this.
Right.
We had some more weddings coming up with her. She wanted to be on the vendor list. And I said, you know what? I love you as a person. I don't know what happened yesterday, but these are some of the things that we have concerns about. I want to keep working with you.
Oh, good way to put it.
So when we work together again, just know that these are the things that we're looking for as a venue. And the next time you know what? It's going to hurt. Nobody wants to hear that they did something wrong, but they're going to do better the next time. And then if they don't, it's like, well, I'm so sorry that this continues to be an issue. We're not able to work this way. Like, it just is what it is.
All right. I need you on my every phone call.
And it's hard. These are not easy conversations.
No, they're not easy conversations. They are not easy conversations, especially if you're trying to come up in a community that is fairly small. I mean, our world here is fairly small. Everybody knows everybody. I mean, it is. And especially if you've been in it for multiple years. Oh,
yeah. God.
God forbid. I mean, my God, you know, and then what do you do? So I'm going to, what do you do about somebody that has gone through personal crises? Because I personally know somebody that went through a really horrendous divorce. Oh my God.
Oh,
it was just awful. And it, I mean, it was so bad. And it was also during COVID or towards the end of COVID. And there were lots of contracts that ended up having to go by the wayside. And she suffered pretty dramatically over this. And it, a lot of it was not her fault because it was during COVID. And but ended up having to close down her business. And she's brilliant at what she does. She's really incredible at what she does. And, you know, personal crises happen to everybody. You know, they just do. So what do you do about that kind of stuff?
You give them grace. You give them a break. You ask them. And what I mean by that is either you have that conversation, like, I know your work. You do fantastic work. I also know that you're going through a lot right now. And these are some of the things that happened at the most recent event. And so I just wanted to bring it up to you because you have the capacity to do great things.
Yeah.
So you have that conversation, lifting them up. The other thing is, and again, this has happened. All these things have happened. So this happened with a vendor of ours where they were going through some things in life and they lost some of their team and all this stuff. I think it was over COVID. They're still open.
Right.
And we said, this has happened 3 times. We're going to give you a break. We're going to bring you back. But right now we need to give you a break. You let us know when you're ready to do that caliber of work again. And it's harsh. And half these conversations start with, I'm always like,
you're like, please don't take this personally.
I'm like, I hate confrontation, but I have to tell you this. Right. But, and you just have humility about it. And if I messed up, I would want someone to tell me, and you can say that.
Well, like, I've called people.
You can say that, you know?
I've actually called people after an event and it said, look, I know that this didn't go great. And I want to, like, first of all, apologize. And usually they're like, what are you talking about? Like, it was so hard on myself.
Usually in our head. Started,
right? It was so much bigger in my own head than it. And it was crazy. It's over little stuff. But that's when I first started out. I was overly picky.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you talk about trying to control this narrative, if somebody is going through a personal issue, is it better to get ahead of it and like reach out to people before it starts to become too much of a gossip? Or do you think that adds to the fire?
I just think honesty, right? And communication is so important. I would reach directly out to them. And I, you know, okay, this is where it's, you don't call them and say, oh my gosh, Keith, you won't believe what Marcy said about you. And said, like we are not mean girls here.
Right. No,
that's not how it is.
No,
it's never. It's more like, hey, Keith, this was brought up at the last event. And I want you to be aware that it was noticed.
Yeah.
Because I don't want this to become something that you're known for. That's the respectful way to go about it. Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. If this conversation is making you comfortable and you're listening in, you really need to think about entrepreneurship and your role as a business owner, because you're going to have these conversations and they suck, but
they suck.
We got to sit in the suck and figure out how to get through it. That's just,
and we have all been there. So before anybody thinks that we're holier than that, we have all been through it. You don't.
Oh, yes.
Your life changes over decades. I mean, shit happens. Let's just put it out there. Shit happens. And, you know, how to figure out how to control that message is about getting ahead of it, is about saying, you know what, guys, I'm really sorry, but, you know, this is something personally is going on, but it's short term. I will get past it. It's, you know, this moment in time, I'm actually going to pull back for a little bit and fix this first. And then that way I'm ready 100%. I think that's a great way to put it. And that's actually what this person did. They're like, you know what? I'm going to pull back. I'm going to deal with my personal stuff and figure out what's going on. And then when I'm back, you're going to know I'm 100% back. And I thought, great, beautiful. I love the way that was handled, because she was on it, right? Or he was on it. No, he or she on this one. But
it's like responding to a bad review.
Right.
Like, if you get a bad review, are you going to respond defensively, or, you know, like actually typing out a response? Or are you going to go back and say, okay, we're working on building this out better, or these are the things that actually happened? Like, you're going to be more factual about it, I would hope. And it's the same thing in real life. If somebody comes to you with a bad review of your business and they say, hey, this happened and it wasn't great.
Right.
How are you going to handle that? It should be the same way. These are the facts of what happened. So sorry. It won't happen again. You know, whatever it is. But I've had people call me and say at the beginning of my business that I needed more help, or that one of my teammates, you know, said something off-putting, or, you know, and you have to handle those situations, and you just do.
Well, that's, believe me, I know that one. We all have people that work for us, and we all have had that moment where they may have said something stupid, like really stupid. And you're like, oh God, what do I do about this?
Yeah.
You know, because they are a representation of us. Time is flying by. So if somebody wants to like reach out to you, find you, because all of this is like crazy fascinating. And I think being able to help somebody control their narrative, having a person like you in their corner goes a long way, because you can see the third person. It's kind of like taking somebody to the doctor's office with you, because you stop listening after like the first thing is like, you're sick. And then all of a sudden you go deaf. The person with you is the one that's supposed to listen to the details. You're that person. It feels like you're the person that says, okay, I'm going to help you through this. And we're going to turn this around and make sure that it's the good kind of gossip. And we're going to make sure that you are set for business, no matter what their background is. I mean, there's, as long as they're willing to listen, I'm assuming.
Yes. So and that's part of, you know, just making sure that the people that are, if somebody's talking bad about you and they are not in any kind of alignment with your business, bless and release, y'all. Like, because sometimes there's gossip, right? We don't like it. We can't do anything about it. And it's like, you know what? That like, you're not on my level.
Right.
See you later.
Bless your heart.
There's plenty of business to go around, everyone. Oh yeah.
And I think that's a really great place to kind of like wrap this up, is that even though it's a small community, there is so much business down here that we really can, as a community, become more supportive of each other in this world. I think that we all go through stuff. I mean, we all went through something really horrific as a community, and somehow we figured out how to survive together. And why shouldn't that continue to be a thing of support? I mean, places like WIPA and NACE and MPI, I mean, these networking groups are essential for people to get the word out and control the narrative. I think, you know, you gotta be in a place to be able to talk to them. And I will say that my big issue about going to a networking event is that normally I do not know what to do. And I'm so used to being the event planner, where I know, oh, you know, brief conversations. I've got like a 30-second conversation here. There's great, but I have someplace to go. So I feel very like, but at a networking event, I'm like, what do I do with myself?
But, you know, to that point, you know, building the relationship isn't just about building it one-on-one per se. It's also making sure that people know that you're coming to these events. They're seeing you. They get to have a little conversation with you. It's not just about like, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get 10 pieces of business from this organization here. It's about making sure that people know what you do, it well, and creating that buzz about you.
It's true. It is so true. I mean, that's the hard piece. I think networking is one of those things that you have to absolutely do in this business. And knowing it's got to be hard. I mean, you're on the Keys. It's got to be hard down there. Oh my God. I mean, it's literally one road in, one road out. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, which direction? That way.
And Karen,
keep on going south.
Just to kind of let you know, I mean, like I go and, you know, I'm part of Karen's group because I wanted help with my SEO. I wanted help with my, you know, my social media and my website and such. And she's been a great resource for that because, as I said earlier, it's really about like getting a second set of eyes, somebody who knows what they're doing, and they're going to give you constructive criticism. because you can't be everything. You know, it's kind of like you can't be everything to everybody, right. But you do what you do well. And so, like, you know, Karen, what she does well. And she brings in the right people to talk about the right, you know, that things that are what I'm looking for. And that's why I am part of her group.
Smart.
So, I mean, it's really about surrounding yourself with good people in the process.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. You can't do this alone. You can't do it
you
alone.
Really can't.
Can I give a couple of networking tips before we?
Yeah. You kidding? Please. Okay. I love that.
Okay. So the first one, if you see any, I'm like, when I speak, I'm like sweaty, so I'm not wearing it right now, but I have this silver sequence duster that I wear, and I wear it to all my networking events. I wear, if you see me on stage, I'm wearing it. It's in like half of my, probably more than half of my branding photos. It is my statement piece. When I walk into WIPA or NACE or any of these amazing associations, when I go to the networking events here in the Keys, if I'm at a speaking event, people recognize me instantly. They will come flocking from whatever corner they're in and they'll be like, Karen, oh my gosh, we knew you were going to be here. We're so excited to see you because they saw me in this silver sequence duster.
Right.
Now, the other thing that will happen is somebody will comment on it. So like, someone will come over and say, dry clean. Yes. That's hilarious. So
there's a little gossip there.
Like, oh, Karen's dirty. So, but they'll say like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. Where'd you get it from? And right. And then I have a whole story behind the duster and how I saw somebody else who was speaking, who was wearing it. And now this is why I wear it and da, da, da.
Right.
But it is my statement piece. There is a, I always say there's a florist who shows up and she wears these beautifully embroidered floral sweaters. She wears them at all the networking events. They're all different, but you know her. It's her because she's always going to be in this. There's people who wear certain colored glasses. There's people who wear certain types of shoes. Like, if you have a statement piece, it's something to talk about, especially if there's a story behind it. Or look around the room for somebody who has a statement piece so that you can comment on it. It is the best conversation starter because you're starting with a compliment.
I always start – I have shiny jackets. They're always like – gold and blue or something like floral and shiny. And like, they're always over the top. I've got these like over the top jackets that I like to wear. To because, you know, whether or not people like them or not, I don't care, but that makes them stop and talk to me. Cause they're like, you know, oh, nice jacket. I know inside they're going, man, tacky, but I don't care.
Like, oh, I walk in like a disco ball and I'm like, who do I know?
Well, I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh, Amazon. They're like, oh, we can tell.
It's where the party starts.
Oh my goodness.
I know, I'm and like, then
the other tip I have is, well, and you know, always going with the goal, you know, we talked about that, but the other tip I have is if you're going by yourself, especially to find a line. So to go to registration, go to the bar, go to an interactive station, go to the bathroom, wherever there is a line, go there. And that's where the conversations start. That's actually how I met, who is it? DJ. He's a DJ.
DJ
He's on
Khaled.
The board.
That's no, kind of what I do.
He's the DJ on the WIPA board. Why can't I think of his name? He's fantastic.
Right.
But anyways.
But still.
He's better, but that's how I met him. And now we have this conversation about WIPA and all these, like, it just opens doors.
So smart to get in line because of course you're going to talk to the people in front of you and behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, unless it's like going on an airplane where people are like, don't talk to me, you know, put in their headphones. Type of thing. But
yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah. If you go to a
networking event, you're like charged to talk to somebody, like you're there for that reason. So
do you feel like networking events also should have a place for making it easy for people to connect with each other, have conversational moments in it? I know that part of what we do with NACE is do educational pieces. So people have something to learn when they're there. Mm-hmm. And then that gives them something to talk about afterwards, because that's a good icebreaker. It's a third person. They're like, oh, wasn't Alan Berg really amazing? Yes, he was incredible. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think
it would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun if the association that you're attending their event, if like a couple days before they sent out a questionnaire, like, what are you hoping to get out of this? Is there any type of person that you're trying to connect with? And then before the event, they could say, okay, Keith, we want to introduce you to Marcy because we know you're looking for a stationer. And then that way, when you get to the event, you already have somebody that you're looking to connect with. like the you're walking in with a quick win. Nobody does that. Why does nobody do that?
You know what? That's really smart. That's a great idea. I actually, we're starting to work on a out of town networking event in the Keys, in the Upper Keys. So, one of the properties down there, we're going to work with putting like an away overnight. So, planners and other event pros can go and stay overnight at the property and get the whole experience so that they are better able to sell a Keys wedding.
Yeah. Versus, is this with HP?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to reach out to Doug. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been on quietly on the back burner for a bit, but now that we're about to get into summer and they're slowing down.
This is good gossip, right? Like, see?
Right? So this is going to be the kind of stuff that we're going to look for. Man, we are running way over time. Anyway, okay. So if people wanted to reach out to you, Karen, how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you?
So you can find me on Instagram. I hang out there a lot at Celebration Pros. Yep, it's right down there. My website, Karen Hunt. If you do a / success-seller, you'll learn more about the membership. We're actually revamping it. It's going to be going to a whole community where there's a curriculum, some added support. Really excited about that. So that's launching at the end of May. But yeah, I mean, really, just head over to Instagram. That's where I am the most, I think.
Well, you were fascinating. It was amazing. I love this conversation. I will be talking about this behind everybody's back for a very long time.
Please do. Please do.
In the best way possible.
In the best way possible.
Like, but he said what? Yeah,
no, this was really fabulous. And I think this is one of those things that people should talk about and you know, if you're going to gossip, let's gossip in the best way possible and help guide your own gossip. It goes a long way in helping build mm-hmm. your brand long term. Yes. So this was really, really smart.
And helping everybody else get through those hard things, right?
Yeah.
We're giving grace, supporting all of that. Good gossip.
Good gossip. Yeah. So thank you again. Oh my goodness. And then of course, next Tuesday, we've got Esther from The Knot talking about how to get published mm-hmm. on The Knot. So tune in next Tuesday at 2:00. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Excellent.